He takes us from looking at the what to looking at the who. And that's what I am really challenging us to do today, is to move from looking at the what to be looking at the who. Or instead of worrying about the why, worshiping the who. Habakkuk begins with an interrogation of God and ends as an intercession to God. Worry is transformed to worship. Fear turns to faith. Terror becomes trust. Hang-ups are resolved with hope. Anguish melts into adoration. What begins with a question mark ends with an exclamation point. The answer to Habakkuk's why is who. His confusion, why all the conflict, is resolved with his comprehension of who is in control, God. Though the outlook may elicit terror, the uplook elicits trust. The prophet's complaints and fears were resolved in confidence and faith. This is the heart of the message of Habakkuk. The righteous will live by his faith. I'm going to pray in just a minute, but I just want to check real quick and make sure things are going okay there in the screen world. All right. Okay, Sam, it still says we will be starting shortly. What? Okay, wait, hold on a minute. I'm just checking things. I know, my cell man's doing great, but, you know, I get distracted. Okay. Wow, he's doing a great job. Okay, folks. All right. So let me pray, and then we'll get into this. Father, I do pray that you would take us from worrying about the why or the what and turn our eyes to Jesus so that we may worship the who. In the midst of crazy, Father, in the midst of confusion and chaos, I pray that our hearts would be at rest and peace, knowing that you are in control. Guide our hearts and our minds as we work through this little book. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so there's three chapters. I have four parts, and so just kind of follow along as we work through this. We see in the first 11 verses, when the silence of God is deafening, walk by faith. Here's the first thing. When you're moving from worry to worship, when the silence of God is deafening, walk by faith. And you see this in verse 1. Here's the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Here's the prophet's question. Here's Habakkuk's question. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And you will not hear. Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. So Habakkuk is calling out to God saying, God, I'm praying. Aren't you listening? I'm even saying violence and you're not, what's going on? You know, it's sometimes the kids will be like, Mom, Dad. And they're like, you know, they're not getting any response. And so they're like, Mom, Dad, someone's really, really bleeding really, really bad. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, yes, let's go. And that's kind of like the prophet here. He's like, God. And then he cries out, God, violence. We've got problems. And yet he doesn't hear an answer from the Lord. The silence of God is deafening. Well, the Lord does respond. Starting with verse 5, here's the Lord's reply. He says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you would not believe though it were told you. For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves. Their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than evening wolves. Their chargers charge ahead. Their cavalry comes from far. They fly as an eagle that hastens to eat. They come for violence. Their faces are set like the east wind. They gather captives like the sand. They scoff at kings, and princes are scorned by them. They deride every stronghold, for they will heap up earthen mounds and cease it. their minds changes and he transgresses. He commits offense, ascribing power to his God. So basically Habakkuk says, hey God, what's going on? Don't you see what's going on? And God, there's a silence from God, but then God answers. And God says, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, and they are going to come and they are going to administer punishment, my judgment on my people. Well, this was kind of like, wow. I mean, that's not what Habakkuk was thinking. Does God ever do things in our lives where we're like, wow, that's not God. I wasn't thinking that you would do it that way. I mean, we have this thought, you know, God will train me and grow me and it will be this way. Or God will answer my prayers this way. And then all of a sudden, God does it this way. And we're like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know. Is this really God working? God, is this really the way that you work? One of the reasons why we have the book of Habakkuk is so that we can understand who God works. Because God has written this out for Habakkuk, for their situation and what they're going through. God has not written out my situation in this book. I don't know. Have you read it all? I've read it all. I haven't found my situation in this book. Andrew Schaff, living here in Soap Lake. Have you found your name and your life in this book? No. No, you haven't. Why don't we have it? Well, we do have Habakkuk's story, what he goes through, to help us in our lives. That's why God has written this out for us. And so the prophet wonders, where is God? What is God doing? And God says, I'm doing something. When the silence of God is deafening, walk by faith. When you don't have the answers, and the first part of this, Habakkuk doesn't have any answers. Walk by faith. God is still God. Stop worrying and start worshiping. Well, the second point that we see starts in verse 12 and goes through chapter 2, verse 1. And here is, when the answer of God is disturbing, walk by faith. When the answer of God is disturbing, walk by faith. So God has said, I'm raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. They're going to come and administer my judgment to my people. And yet the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, they were an awful lot. They were more wicked than the children of Israel. And so this baffles the prophet. God, how can you use that to administer judgment to your people? How can you use them? And this is his question. The answer of God is disturbing. And so he asks, verse 12, are you not from everlasting? O Lord, my God, my Holy One, we shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil. You cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours? A person more righteous than he. Why do you make men like fish of the sea, like creeping things that have no ruler over them? Talking about the Babylonians, take up all of them with a hook. They catch them in their net. They gather them in their dragnet. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. Therefore, they sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their dragnet, because by them their share is sumptuous and their food plentiful. Shall they therefore empty their nets and continue to slay nations without pity? I will stand my watch. I will set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer when I am corrected. So the answer that God has given to Habakkuk is disturbing. I'm going to do it this way. And Habakkuk says, no, God, you can't do it that way. You're too pure. You're too holy to allow something so evil to be used in part of your plan. I wonder about today. There's a lot of wickedness that's going on in our world, our country, our culture. And sometimes we wonder, you know, what's going on here? Who's in control? Is everything out of control? But do you know that God can use these things to administer correction, to administer judgment? You bet he can. And when the answer of God is disturbing, walk by faith. When the answer of God is disturbing, walk by faith. when you don't understand what is when you don't understand what God is doing, don't stop trusting him. Then the third thing we see going through this, you thought it was going to be 5 hours. It's not going to be 5 hours. It's not going to be very long. The third thing we see is that God will always be God. Starting in chapter 2, verse 2, going all the way through verse 20. God will always be God. He tells Habakkuk to write this down. Verse 2, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. Write it down. Here it is. This is so certain. God's word is so certain. God will bring things to pass. You know what I love? I read things in the Bible that have not happened yet. And you know what? I know that they will happen. Why? Because my God is trustworthy. My God is able. And so he tells Habakkuk, he says, I want you to write this down. This is going to happen. Verse 3, vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Habakkuk, this may not happen today, but it will happen. God does not lie. And so he assesses the Babylonians. Verse 4, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Here is the difference between Habakkuk and the Babylonians. The Babylonians are proud. They walk by their own hand and by their own strength. But the just, the ones who are right before God, they walk by faith. And so verses 6 through 20 talk about God's judgment against the Babylonians. Verse 5, indeed, because he transgressed by wine, he is a proud man. And he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desires as hell. He is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Will not all these take a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases, what is not his, how long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken who oppress you? And will you become their booty because you have plundered many nations? All the remnant of the people shall plunder you because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and all who dwell in it. Woe to him who covets evil for grain to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire, and nations weary themselves in vain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look upon his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The Lord, the cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. For your violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of beasts which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and city and all who dwell in it. What profit is the image that its maker should crave it? That molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it, to make mute its idols. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. This is magnificent, and we're not going to get into the details of it. This is actually like a song, because you see all these woes in verse 6, in verse 9, 12, 15, and 19. You see woe, woe, woe. It's a song of woe. This is coming upon these people. And it lays out who they are and what they have done. They will be abolished. They will be taken down. But God, no, God is still reigning. So he tells Habakkuk, in the midst of Habakkuk and the situation that's going on, he looks at the children of Israel and he sees what's going on. He looks at his people and says, God, we've got a problem. There's a lot of sin and corruption. And for a while, God doesn't answer. But then God answers and says, guess what, Habakkuk? I see that. I'm going to take care of it. I am raising up the Babylonians, and they will come and they will administer judgment to my people. That answer is disturbing to Habakkuk because he looks at the Babylonians and says, they're more wicked than we are. God can use whatever he wants, whomever he wants, to bring him glory. And he's going to use the Babylonians to administer judgment to his people. So Habakkuk stands back and says, you know, I don't understand this, but I'm going to wait and see what God says. And God says, listen, the proud, this is what happens to them, but the just, they are ones who walk by faith. Let me tell you, Habakkuk, what will happen to the Babylonians. Let me tell you my judgment upon them. Here it is. Write it down. This will happen because they have set other gods before them instead of me. They have made for themselves gods. They have turned from righteousness. They have turned, and now they're, I look verse 16, their utter shame will be on your glory. Anyways, all right, so that is the second part here. No matter when the answer is disturbing, walk by faith. God will always be God. Sorry, sound man is laughing at me. God will always be God no matter what. No matter what happens, no matter fires, no matter viruses, God is always God. What's the last part? No matter what, walk by faith. No matter what, walk by faith. Here is Habakkuk's prayer and praise to God. He has been humbled, and now he is on a mountaintop praising God. Notice this. Verse 2, O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Come down from Teman, the Holy One, from Mount Par, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there was power, and there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nations, and the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw tents of cushion in affliction. The curtains of the land of Midian trembled. O Lord, you were displeased with the rivers. Was your anger against the rivers? Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation? Your bow was made quite ready. Oaths were sworn over your arrow, Selah. You divided the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands high. The sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched to the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck, Selah. You thrust through with his own arrows, his head, the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to his people, he will invade them with his troops. Here's one thing that I want you to see. After Habakkuk's prayer, here is his response to his interaction with God. Now remember, he has started by looking at the circumstances and everything that's going on, the chaos. Now his mind, his eyes are turning to God. And in verse 16, he's trembling before God. See, at the beginning, he's trembling before the situation. Now he's trembling before his God. Isaiah 66:2 says, but on this one I will look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. So what is Habakkuk's resolve? Look at verses 17 through 18. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Here is Habakkuk's resolve. No matter what is going on, no matter if everything goes wrong, guess what? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now listen to your people. Oh, listen. Maybe that verse needs to be memorized for you in your life. Maybe it needs to be written on your door or over your head, bed, or on your mirror in your bathroom. No matter what happens, what? I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. No matter if my house burns down, no matter if it's smoky outside, no matter if I lose my job, no matter if the COVID, whatever, no matter what, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. See, this is phenomenal. Habakkuk has turned from looking at all of this that's going on to looking at his God, and it has changed him. It has given him peace. And so here is his resolve, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on high hills. Now his trust is in God. Now, I want you to realize something here. From chapter 1, where we started, to the end of chapter 3, have the circumstances, Habakkuk's circumstances, have they changed? Is there any difference in the chaos between verse 1 of chapter 1 and chapter 9 of chapter 3 at verse 19? Is there any difference in the chaos? Has anything changed? No, circumstances have not changed. What's changed? The man has changed. He has stopped worrying about the why or the what, and he's worshiping the who. He has his eyes, his heart, his mind filled with the vision of who God is. I know I just read through it without even really commenting on chapter 3, all of this. That's his song of praise to God, verses 3 through 15. That's his prayer of response. This is who my God is. He's captivated by his God. It's not the problem that is big in his eyes anymore. It's God who is big in his eyes. Well, this has great application for us today. And I love this little book. It's one of my favorite in the Old Testament. Why? Because it reminds me to stop looking at this, all the whys and the whats, and trying to figure out and turn my attention to God and who he is. And that's where my heart needs to be. And that's where your heart needs to be. No matter what's going on in your life. Maybe the virus has upset your whole normal. Maybe the smoke is really causing affliction upon you. Maybe there's other health issues. Maybe there's family issues, relationship issues, financial issues, whatever it is. Whatever it is. And maybe you're losing sleep. Maybe you're worrying. Maybe your soul and mind is all in knots. Maybe you're losing your appetite. Well, stop. Stop looking at that and start looking at who your God is. That's where we need to be found. Our God is great. Our God is good. Our God watches over us, takes care of us. Stop looking at the why and the what and start worshiping the who. Habakkuk goes from worry to worship. And guess what? We can as well. Right now, we can move from worry to worship. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask my wife to come back, Hannah. We're going to sing one more song to you that is so dear and precious. The name of it is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. So let me pray. Father, I thank you for this little book. And it's so precious. It is. It's really good. Reminds us, Father, that we should not be full of worry. We should be full of worship. Take us and our hearts and our minds from looking at everything that's going on in the world to looking at you. May our gaze be upon our Lord and Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May we be looking to Jesus. Father, encourage all of us to be doing this. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I'll just kind of reset up here. And my wife will come back. We'll sing this one last song for you.